Hello, hello, and this is the Sleon Productions podcast where we interview entrepreneurs, world changers, and people that influence and bring value to this podcast. And today I have a person that I met a couple of months ago, I think almost over a year, Coach Arnie Fonseca. He is a strategic coach, a interventionist, speaker, and consultant. He's the visionary behind Hands of Hope Coaching, a company that is making change a possibility for anyone that is committed to creative, positive, happier, healthier, and more fulfilling experiences in their life through love and work. Coach Arnie specializes in empowering everyone through adventure to experience an epic and fulfilling experience in life. And Coach Arnie Fonseca is on the line. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Santiago, how are you doing, my brother?
Arnie, doing really well. I think the first time we met, obviously, was through someone else, but I think it was in 2019, but possibly in 2018.
No, I think it might have been before that. I think it was 2018.
Wow, there you go.
And yeah, it's been a while, off and on here and there, and you know, and you were doing some interesting things down in the Florida area, the Miami Beach, South Beach, home of the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And, right? Of course, you also live in a warm area in Phoenix, Arizona.
Not today, though. Not today. It's cold.
It's cold, yeah. We have had some cold days, but it usually warms up pretty quick. I don't think Phoenix warms up that quick. I think they kind of stick in the cold for a bit.
A little bit. And then we'll be a lot hotter than you are.
Well, Coach Arnie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Honestly, guys, and I know that there's a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners listening in. You know, I'm a teacher and a coach. I've been telling people just recently, last night actually, that I coached my first football team in high school 40 years ago. And a lot of those young men are not young anymore. They're in their 50s, and they're good friends of mine to this day. And but I've always had a knack for understanding young people and communicating effectively with them, which has allowed me to obviously connect and have that ability to have some impact on their lives. And I don't know why. I mean, we didn't have all this stuff to study back then, but, you know, you know what you know. And I've always had that ability. I actually had a head coach that I worked for back then. We were in the heat of the battle. It was actually 40 years ago this year. It'll be during the football season coming up. But and he came up to me, and we were playing for the division championship. And he goes, I don't know what you say to those guys, but say it right now. And he used some flowery language, which I'm not sure if you're allowed to use on your show. Get on mine. But and so I pulled my guys together and used some very lovely language with them, and they did really well. And so, but it's strategic use of what the whip, I guess you would say. So it's communication, and some of the things that Santiago and I have talked about is how today we don't effectively communicate. And I think as a coach, as an interventionist, strategic thinker, I guess, that I think that effective communication can be a game changer, not only for your business, but for your life, you know, your relationships, because most people that I know that struggle in the relationships because they don't talk. And I know it doesn't feel good. I mean, believe me, I'm not perfect, and I have my own issues and my own relationships, and it always comes down to communication. Always.
What?
So,
yeah,
that's who I am. I'm a teacher and a coach, man. So go ahead.
What influences got you to be the coach? Was it your dad? Was it your family?
Okay, I'm going to give it to you straight here. Vulnerability is power. Again, this is all recent information. Actually, I had a conversation with my wife yesterday, and it wasn't my dad. My dad, which is one of the reasons that I got into coaching men, as well. My dad and I had a horrible relationship. Absolutely rock bottom horrible. More on the psychological standpoint. And because of that, I leaned into my teachers and coaches. And thank God I had great teachers and coaches. And because they were able to feed me my love language before we even knew what that was. They were always encouraging me and complimenting me. Now, granted, I had to do stuff. I had to perform. And I felt I performed at a pretty high level. But because of that, I got feedback. And because of that, that's all I ever wanted to do was teach and coach. Actually, coaching. But I knew that teaching was the only way to get there. And so it certainly wasn't my dad. I think my dad might have even been jealous to a standpoint, to a point. I didn't really know enough and care enough at that point in my life. I just knew that I couldn't get along with him. And, as I told my wife yesterday, I worked it out with him. I worked it out with him years ago, guys, because I know there's a lot of people that are listening right now to this that don't have great relationships with their dad. Heck, I know that 50% of young guys today didn't even grow up with a dad. I know that because this is the stuff I teach. But I do know this. I do know this. Whoever your dad was, they did the best they knew how. My dad did not know how to be a dad. He was the youngest of many kids. His dad was a great guy who traveled all over the valley selling and meeting people, had a great personality. I think I got a lot from him in what I do. But he wasn't there. He wasn't home to be a dad. And so regardless of what's going on in you guys' lives, you know, forgiveness is a big part of my life. I had to learn it. But don't let that burden of your dad and your relationship pull you down. Learn from it, be better from it, and you'd be surprised who you can help through that, whether it's in your company or in your own life. Because there's a lot of guys on your team probably that are struggling too, because they didn't have dads either. So, but it might, to answer your question in a story way, it was my teachers and coaches that influenced me being a coach, period.
What type of coaching that you practice with your clients?
I call it emotional coaching. Because a lot of guys will sign you up, and then they'll meet with you for a half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, once a week, once every other week, depending on what you guys have set up. I call mine emotional coaching, Santiago, because I know that emotions are like the tide, the waves in the ocean. They come in, they go out. They come in, they go out. And so a lot of my guys, depending on how I structure it, is when they are having a really hard day, I don't want them to wait a week. If they have a really bad experience, I don't want them to wait a week to talk about it. Now, I don't want to be a hammock for them. So, we have some rules, but at the same time, if it's something I can diffuse in 30 seconds or a minute on a quick phone call or text, I want them to get a hold of me. So I call it emotional coaching. And I've just developed that over time, because I know how it was when I was paying for coaching, and I still have coaches. And some were good at that, some weren't. Some I use for that. That's not what they did. That's what I do. But I'm more of the soft skills guy. I'm not the hardcore, I'm going to teach you how to do something with a lot of structure. Because the stuff I do is about life. It's about relationships. It's the stuff that gets, you got to roll your sleeves up and get dirty. And you got to, mess up your shirt, get your hair messy. To answer these kind of questions, because emotions are messy, dude. That's just the way it is.
Emotions, baggage, it gets really, really deep. It's funny because
it'll destroy your company. But go ahead.
Yeah, no. It's exactly what it is. How important, obviously, Willie, when you coach people, how important, is this for their business? Obviously, you're dealing with life. You're not giving any business tactics, but obviously a lot of emotional issue. But How does that reflect onto their business?
Well, number one, I like to see the world from their point of view, but a lot of the things that I base this on are a lot of the experiences I had, because I don't want you to have to go through what I went through, because that might suck. And I know, you know, I look back 15 years and I go, man, I wish I would have had a coach to help me through some really rough stuff. And so, but to kind of go back on what you just said there, I do some strategic coaching with business only because I've done it. So, yes, most of my stuff is soft skill stuff, communication, relationship building, attitude. All that stuff is very, very important as you're putting together teams. But if people have questions on finance stuff or other things that are business planning, that what I tend to do, Santiago, is refer them to people that I trust that are really, really good at that, because I can give you information on that because I had to do it on my companies. Because, and one of the things I did leave out in who I was, I did brain and spinal cord rehabilitation for 30 years. So talk about a great atmosphere to learn about people. Because these are individuals that went through hell in their life. And I learned how to help them to put it back together. It's like Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, falls into a million pieces, and what the fuck are you supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
And I had to help them piece by piece put this thing back together again. Relationships that just get blown up. Things with their family, their jobs, finances. It's just a shit show. And I had to learn a lot of different ways to communicate and strategize with people and sit them down and introduce them to people that could help them out of this utter hell. And that taught me a lot. You know, it's like going to graduate school on turmoil and chaos. Because there's very few things you can learn about turmoil and chaos from a book. But you sure as hell can learn it from life.
So, Coach Arnie, obviously, I mean, for me, in my eyes, it feels like the coaching industry has become popular in the last couple of years. Why is that? Obviously, why is this like so popular lately?
Well, because people want help, but people are also looking for shortcuts. And I'm okay with both of those things. But sometimes the shortcuts aren't the best way. Because you still got to work hard. And if a coach is promising you to get you from A to Z without missing a few steps in the middle, it's kind of like doing algebra. I taught high school algebra for 5 years. And the reason that everybody hates algebra, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I used to teach the kids is say, look, here's why algebra is important. Because it teaches you steps. And you might get the first step right, but if you miss the second step, then even though you do all the work in step 3 and 4 perfectly, you miss the problem because you missed a step. And that's kind of how life is, Santiago. You know, if you take shortcuts, at some point it's going to catch up with you. And so my problem with some of the, especially young coaches, and God bless them, because, you know, we didn't have this around when I was a 22-year-old, 23-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, we didn't have this. I'm gonna be a life coach, and there's nothing wrong with it, especially if you're teaching them like how to do stuff in computer and tech and stuff that I don't even understand. But when you get into life, man, that's a stretch. So at the same time, I think it's important because this friend of mine, his name is Jay Elliott, and this guy, we have him on a team because I'm actually working on an app. I think I might have told you this. And Jay Elliott is on our board. And Jay Elliott was the mentor to Steve Jobs. He used to work at IBM. And Jobs met him at a coffee shop back in the early 80s. And they just started talking. He was probably, I want to say, 20, maybe 15, 20 years older. And Jobs tried to convince him to come over to Apple. He goes, I'm with IBM, I'm doing well. Until Jobs basically convinced him, because that's who Jobs was, hey, you need to come over here and you need my guy, my mentor, my coach, even though coaching hadn't really been termed yet, because Robbins is the one who gave that term out to it. But so he came over and he was with Jobs at Apple until Jobs got let go by the board. But he was, you know, basically he was the guy that Jobs went to for advice. And so, you know, coaching, if it's strategic and it's done for the right reasons with somebody that has the right experience, can allow you to skip over steps, but you got to know where you're going to get there. You know, you just can't miss things because you're going to make big mistakes. And I think sometimes an inexperienced coach can create a bigger mistake because they haven't seen it. They haven't seen it. You know, look, I'm a big fan, Santiago, of the old Mike Tyson advice. You need to get punched in the face.
I agree.
Because then you're going to find out who you are. And if somebody protects you from getting punched in the face too much, I think that could be a problem. I did a talk one time many years ago, probably 10 years ago. I said, don't wait till you're 50 to get kicked in the teeth. It hurts a lot more. The best time to learn how to get punched in the face, as Gary Vee would say, is now. If you're in your 20s, get hammered around a little bit. Get punched around. Figure out what you don't like, what you like, what works, what doesn't work. If working with a coach helps you, getting burned by a coach helps you, great. But I wouldn't personally rely on a young coach to get you there unless it's a specific place, like with a maybe in software or in something technical that they really are good at. Although, you know, I mean, look in the NFL, you know, 2 years ago, even this year. 2 years ago, a young coach got his team to the Super Bowl, but he got beat by a very experienced coach that basically outcoached him. This year, you had another young coach who got him to the Super Bowl, but he got outcoached by a very experienced coach that exposed him. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm not making it up because those are real life experiences. So, depending on how you want to spend your dollars, I would be careful on spending it on somebody super inexperienced, and you could be 40 or 50 and be inexperienced, without having a very specific thing that you want, like a relationship, a business, a book, a software situation, because unless someone's been there, done that, it's going to be tougher. I promise you. Or they're going to give you an opportunity to go through it with them, and maybe they'll give you a break on price. I don't know.
Arnie,
but I've talked to some experienced young coaches, and you'd be surprised what they know. It's pretty amazing.
Arnie, one thing you mentioned earlier is Gary Vee, and of course, you become a social media phenom. Like, you're in every platform, even on TikTok.
Right.
How has social media impacted you and your business?
I'll be honest with you. Social media has allowed me an opportunity to help more businesses from a business standpoint than anything else. Because of listening to guys like Gary Vee, it has allowed me to have that superpower with businesses that will listen. Because if you're not listening to social media, you're going to make a big mistake. I was talking to a company owner today. They own a pool company, and it's an aging company. They've been in business for, gosh, over 30 years, and their staff is aging up. So she's experiencing all kind of personnel problem because they have an aging staff that is not growing. I mean, when I say growing in learning, in being a better person, in communication skills, and all the things they need to learn how to do, and she's got a boatload of problems. And even though they're trying to sell the company, they may not be able to. And they got this aging staff that's not getting better. And I told her today, I said, you can't dump your whole staff at once, because every time they hire a younger, better person, it's like an eye opener. It's like, ugh, you know, we need more people like this. Yeah, because you have people, you bring people in that are hungry, they're going to be better. So it has allowed me to discover these new strategies to help companies avoid these problems. So that's, I think, to me, the value of social media. It's not about sharing your nonsense with people. It's about learning from other people on how you can be better and sharing it with other people and companies so that they can be better, and convincing them, hey, look, you need to be over here and over here and over here sharing what you're doing. I did the same thing yesterday with a guy who was in the drone business. And I was just telling him, I go, how many times are you posting? Well, once here. I go, look, dude, you got hundreds of videos. And he took this. I could tell he was emotional about it. I said, no one knows who the hell you are. And I use other language, but no one knows who you are. I go, you need to be posting 3 to 5 times on LinkedIn a day. You need to be posting videos every day about what you're doing. And he's like, really? I go, yeah, really. And you're not. But he's complaining that he's not getting any business. Nobody knows who he is. I don't care how great his videos are. It doesn't matter. Nobody knows who he is. It's a different time and different place. So that's the value of it for me. I get excited about social media because of Gary Vee and that mindset of where's it going next? Because I'm not locked into anything. But as soon as we're done with this, Santiago, I'm recording my podcast. But I'm doing something different. I'm doing a 10-minute podcast, and it could be longer, but there's no rules. I'm just having fun, and I'm just putting out information, and, I'm calling it the second half because I'm 60. So, I plan on living another 60 years. So I'm just putting stuff out that are lessons that I've learned to help other people avoid certain things and learn certain things and don't get locked into anything. Because it's all changing, man, and it's changing fast.
Ready for some random questions?
Ready.
What is your favorite sneaker?
Because I'm a runner, it's the Topo Trail Shoe.
Never heard of it. I will Google it.
I know.
Which movie you can Topo. See again and again?
Oh man, it's gotta be Rocky. Rocky II. The greatest relationship movie of all time. Rocky II. Because when she's in the hospital in a coma and he's given up everything for his woman and she rolls over, you can Google this, and all he says, I'm not gonna fight anymore, and she looks at him and she says, when? And that's all he needed, and that's what men need from their significant other. If their significant other has their back and tells them to go out there and slay the dragon, they'll do it.
What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
I would tell my 15-year-old self to try more things. Don't get locked into one thing, because I got locked in, man, like a laser beam. I'm being a teacher and a coach, and so 50 years ago, 45 years ago, I would have said, try more things. Even though I thought I was doing a lot of things, but I would continue. I would say, travel more, experience life more, do more things. And, because you can always come back to what you wanted to do.
Let me expand this. Actually, this would be a good question. What would you tell a person in their 20s? And what would you tell a person in their 30s?
Today, a person in their 20s is do a lot of stuff take some shots because you got nothing to worry about. The world's moving super fast. Take some shots. Get out there. You know, go bankrupt. You know, go for it. Don't get into a serious relationship unless it's your soulmate, unless it's somebody that just meets all, checks all the boxes on your list as far as a soulmate goes. But try different things till you figure out what's going on, because there's so many opportunities out there in life. In your 30s, you know, now's the time. You know, look, if you found that special person, make a commitment. Make a commitment, because life is relationships. And if you found that right person, you got to go for it. And then by now you're starting to figure things out. Take some big swings and make that commitment to that business idea or that job or whatever it might be. You know, I don't think you need school. You need people. Find people that can help you get what you want. Quit listening to other people telling you what you can't do. Listen to your heart and your gut and commit. Take a stand in life. If you're in your 30s, take a stand with your relationships. Take a stand with your finances, your job. Take a stand with your health. What do you want to do? Find something that you like as far as exercise and nutrition. You know, that stuff should all be worked out from your 20s, trying different foods, trying different exercises, trying different people that you can, you know, environments that you might want to, you know, figure out. You know, by your 30s, you should have this stuff starting to dial this stuff in. Start dial this stuff in and start anchoring, man. Start anchoring down and then go for it. Lean into it and go hard.
Wow, this is pretty awesome. Now, I got another question. Now, back in your time, was like being in your 20s and your 30s different versus right now? It feels like kids kind of bloom a little bit later.
Oh, my God.
Where do we start?
Totally different, man. Totally different. Because back then, you know, that you're supposed to have it all dialed in by the time you're out of college or before.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends did. A lot of my friends went to trade school, became welders or firemen, or they went to school, became a doctor or a lawyer. My mom hated the fact when I started a business, because she never, to the day she died, she didn't get it. She goes, because remember now, I was raised by Depression-era kids. They grew up in the Depression, so a job was a big deal. This whole entrepreneur thing, you heard Gary talk about it, this wasn't even a term, man.
True.
Nobody knew what started a business.
That was very foreign.
Especially a business like I was doing. It was foreign. It was like, you know, a business was like, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to, you know, have a store. I'm going to sell widgets. You know, all this other stuff was like very foreign.
What is the best way to reach you on in general?
First of all, you can call me or text me, period, on my phone number, 602-390-9144. You're not going to bother me. You're going to bother me if you don't call me if you have a question. Number two, you can look me up on Twitter or on TikTok, Real Coach Arnie, on Facebook or LinkedIn at Arnie Fonseca Jr. You can also go to my Facebook page, Coach Arnie on Facebook, on Instagram, Coach Arnie F. You can just Google me. Just put in Arnie Fonseca Jr. Just put in Arnie Fonseca in Google, and 8-10 pages of crap will come up. Look me up. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you, whether in person or virtual. Let's talk about it.
There you have it. Coach Arnie, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
I appreciate you asking me, man, and I love you, brother, and just keep it up, okay?